I was driving this morning coming to church, and I forget which radio station was on at the time, but they sang the song that the chorus comes from. The one, that one. I'm thankful. Let's sing our choruses, then I'll remember what they are, all right? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Then this one. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. It was that second chorus we sang that I'd forgotten was actually the chorus of a hymn. And I heard them singing that hymn this morning, the verses along with the chorus. And we're just singing the chorus, so Pastor Braden, we're going to have to look that up and find it somewhere and learn the whole song. I don't know that it's in our songbook, but we'll find that and do that sometime. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In lieu of a missionary this month, because we don't have one scheduled and we don't have one for the month of July, this is kind of rare. In July, we have our tent meeting going on all week. We have some special speakers coming at the beginning of August. Brother Ed Hamby will be here the first Sunday. I think it's the first Sunday in August. I believe that is the last Sunday in July. I forget which. But he'll be with us at that time. He's an evangelist. And then David Engelseth will be with us also in the month of August, the second Sunday. And he's got a very unusual ministry. I heard him up at Joy Baptist in Orrville. And he'll set up here on the stage and he'll do a pottery display. He'll make pottery up here and he'll preach from the book of Jeremiah and give an illustration of how God makes us as we are clay in the potter's hand. So he will give us a demonstration of how that's made, and then he's got a presentation there made up. So he'll be with us in August. But for these next 2 months, we don't have anybody. We had Brother Perrick was our last missionary. And so the Lord laid on my heart to keep us reminded about missions during this lull in having missionaries here. Now, the message I'm preaching tonight is from the archives. I went back to the year 2000, and this is a message I preached 22 years ago. I don't guarantee I haven't preached it since then, but it's the last time I've got it recorded here. But even so, if I hadn't told you that, you probably wouldn't remember anyway. So I don't know if I even should have said that. But we're going to look tonight at the topic, why missions. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we are again so thankful for this Sunday evening service. And God, I pray you give us a heart tonight for missions. Lord, speak to our hearts through the preaching of your word. Father, give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Lord, help me to adequately, Father, communicate to your people the word that you have for us tonight. Father, we are dependent upon you. For you to guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit, Father, to get the words and the thrust that we need tonight. And I pray, God, you would open our eyes to this need of the world and this need of sending missionaries. And Lord, challenge us tonight to be faithful and obedient in the area of missions. Use these scriptures, these verses tonight to challenge us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why missions? I have used the word missions as an acronym, and I'm not going to preach that tonight. But you know, an acronym is taking each letter of something and making a different point with it. And for missions, the word missions, I've kind of described it this way, and it's not a perfect acronym, so don't Don't judge me. But I've used these letters, M-I-S-S-I-O-N-S, as myself in the Savior's service in other nations. M-I-S-S-I-O-N-S. Myself in the Savior's service in other nations. I trust that you're serving God where you're at. I trust you're serving God with what you have. But the Lord has called us beyond our community, even beyond our country. The Bible has called us to be interested in getting the gospel around the world. And only when we have the focus that the Lord has are we going to be blessed of God. If we don't have a heart for missions, we don't have the heart of God. For God so loved the world that He gave. Why did God give? Because He loved the world. And now He wants us to love the world also. So we are to give. Give of ourselves, if called upon. Give of our finances, as God enables us. Give of our prayers, as we do so often. But to give for the Savior's service in other nations. Notice here in Matthew chapter 28 in verse number 19, He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He's telling His 11 disciples, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That's our triune God. We baptize in His name. The Bible says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo," I don't know if this is connected to that or just separate, "because I'm with you to the end of the world, then go to the end of the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus gave this commission in verse number 19. But I want you to back up just a little bit and look at this in Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse number 16. Before Jesus said these words in verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee." This is after Jesus' resurrection, before His ascension. Remember, He's in the grave 3 days and He rose. Then for 40 days He was here on this earth before He ascended into heaven. And in that time period of His resurrection, before His ascension, while He's walking on earth, He met with His disciples in verse number 16. They went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. Notice these words, "but some doubted." It's only natural in the course of this life, every once in a while, to be overcome by doubt, to be attacked by questions, to have our faith challenged. And I like this, some of them did. Some of those of the 11, some of them doubted. What did Jesus do? He reminded them of their assignment. He said in verse number 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." You know how to conquer your doubts? Do what you know is right to do. Even in the midst of your doubting, do what you know is right to do. He said, "Well, I'm questioning and I'm not sure." Well, I understand that. But if you've been in church long enough and saved long enough and in your Bible long enough and you know what's right to do, do it anyways, and that will help you conquer your doubts. Too many people let their doubts conquer their faith. And when the doubts come, it rattles them and shakes their faith. Don't do that. Keep doing it. And when some of them doubted, Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." You know what He's telling them? Don't doubt. I've got all power. And I want you to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Why missions? Point number one tonight is simply this. Because the Lord commands it. That's what we find here in Matthew 28. He didn't make a request. He didn't give them an option. He didn't say, "If you feel like it." He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." It's not our prerogative to decide whether or not we want to. We are commanded to go. We are commanded to give the gospel to those to whom we can, and to get the gospel to those whom we cannot give individually and personally. That's what missions is all about. Myself in the Savior's service in other nations. I hope you wrote down that reference, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. The second reference is in the Gospel of Mark. We call this the Great Commission. This is what this is famously titled. In each one of the Gospels and then the book of Acts, there is an account of Jesus telling His disciples to fulfill His commission. His commission was to go into all the world and teach all nations. In Mark chapter 16, look at verse number 15. The Gospel of Mark, the end of that chapter, the end of that Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 15. We find the second of the commandments that's given as Jesus gave them. Is this the same one as given in Matthew? We don't know for sure. It's given to the same people, whether it's given at the same time. We're not positive. But in verse number 16 and verse 15 it says, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Nothing secretive in that. Nothing hard to understand. Go into all the world. Disciples, here you are. Spread out from here. Go everywhere you can. Spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice you would, verse number 14. We said this already. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. He just walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus who testified they'd seen Him. Some of the disciples didn't buy it. They didn't believe it. So Jesus, in the midst of their unbelief, said, "Here's what I want you to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel." When struggling with doubt, when struggling with unbelief, do what you know is right to do. And missions is right. Look, if you would, at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse number 47. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, the third verse in this Great Commission. Why missions? Because the Lord commands it. It's not optional. It is the heart of God to get His gospel into the world. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Again, He gives His commission as He did in Matthew and in Mark, that is to go to all nations. The gospel is not an American invention. The gospel originated in Jerusalem. The gospel originated on a hillside outside of the town where Jesus Christ was crucified, then buried, and then rose again. And that gospel, the Bible said, the Lord Jesus said, was to be preached to all nations. Notice again in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 44, right before we read verse 47, "And He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Again, we find the disciples confused. They'd given up everything to follow this man for 3.5 years, and He'd been taken and crucified. They trusted He was the one that was going to set up the kingdom and sit on the throne of David. And now these terrible things have happened. And Jesus has to encourage them by reminding them of what their mission is. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. Turn to John chapter 20. The Gospel of John in chapter 20. These five verses again make up what we commonly call the Great Commission. This sermon, these five verses have been used and preached countless times to encourage churches today in the area of missions. John chapter 20. And verse number 21. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As My Father hath sent Me, so send I you." Seems like I've heard a song that sounds like that. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Notice what happened right before that. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith to them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed to them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. You see, they were fearful. They were afraid. They'd taken their Messiah and crucified him. Now they're worried they're going to come after him because they were his disciples. So as they're in the upper room, huddled in there for fear, and Jesus shows up, he says to them, Peace be unto you. And when he showed them his hands and his feet, that it was actually him, the holes were still there, the prints were still there. Then were the disciples glad. And what did Jesus say? As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Four times that commission has been given. There's no mistaking it. There's no missing it. The Lord's last words, His commission to those on earth, His disciples, His followers, His believers, is to get the gospel into every nation. Turn, if you would, just a page. It's not at the end of Acts, it's at the very beginning of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And this one I know is different from the setting of the other four, because this is as He is ascending on that 40th day back to the Father. And as He's ascending back to the Father, He wants to remind them of the commission He'd given them. We're going to see in a moment that commission was given while He was ministering during the 3.5 years that He was on earth. He reminded of them after His resurrection, and now He reminds them again at His ascension. I'm leaving now, but you're going to receive power. Notice Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost. Geographically, back in Jesus' day or that day, that talked about their surrounding area, Jerusalem. Judea, that was outside of Jerusalem. Samaria, which was foreign country. And the uttermost parts of the earth, as we saw Paul traveling to later in the book of Acts. And God's desire is to get missions all around the world because God has commanded it. If we want the heart of God, if we want the love of God, we've got to be involved in missions. Now that mission starts outside our doors. I've been in churches that have, right over the bulkhead as you're going out the doors, churches that have a banner that says, you are now entering the mission field. Sometimes we think the mission field has to be Congo, somewhere in Africa, Cambodia, China, somewhere oppressed, some third world country maybe. And without doubt, many missionaries have gone to those places, but mission starts right outside the door of our church. Right outside the door of our house. Right outside the door of our automobile. Because there's folks all around, as we said this morning, whom God is not their Father, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why missions? Because the Lord commands it. Number two, why missions? Because the world needs it. The world needs the church. They don't realize it. They don't understand it. Many of them disparage it. Some despise it. We are getting to days in our society today where the church is going to be under fire. And it's sad because it's not because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not because of the life-changing message. But because of other biblical standards that we are prone and we are dedicated to uphold. Because of those standards of the Word of God, society is turning slowly, more slowly and ever increasingly against the church itself, despising our message, mainly on social issues like abortion and gender identity and all these different things that are out there. When Christians take a stand for the Bible, the world opposes the church because of that. And that kind of breaks my heart because that's not the issue. The issue is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we can't avoid those other things. We've got to stick to what the Word of God says. But the reason we're here is because the world needs us so that they can get the gospel of Jesus Christ. The need of the world is the gospel. Turn, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. We memorize that. Brother Merle's probably taught that several times in soul winning class already. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful verse. What a simple verse. Showing us how easy salvation is on our part. The Lord's part was grievous. Offering, sacrificing His only begotten Son that we might have eternal life. But on our part, it's simply calling upon the name of the Lord. With a heart of sincerity, honestly calling upon Him, that's how easy it is. But notice what He says in verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Notice this. And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know what the world needs? It needs missionaries. It needs people proclaiming the gospel of Christ. I would not disagree that the world needs education. There are some remote places, even in our world today, where there is no training for children. There is no first grade, second grade, third grade, no schoolhouses. And most of the time when missionaries go to those places, eventually they form those things many times. But the world itself is interested in educating folks. The only problem with their education, get this, the only problem with the education they offer is the educators. Sorry, Sarah. And Nani. Those educators are fine. You'll see where I'm going with this. When we go help some foreign country and we send some secular group, some humanitarian effort over to another country to teach their children, oh, we're glad for the education they're receiving. And some of those countries where girls are not allowed to be educated, thank God that somebody's trying to reach out and educate them and show them, teach them some things. Mathematics, science, health. I mean, let's teach them about sanitation and things like that, because some of those countries desperately are in need of those things. But the problem with education is the educator. Because most of the times we're sending secular groups of unsaved people into these different countries to educate, and the education is not going to turn out good. I'm all for medical missions. And by that I simply mean that Doctors Without Borders or the World Health Organization go to these different countries, set up clinics, help these people. But the problem with medicine is the doctors. Because most of those that are sent do not know the Lord as their Savior. And so as they get connected to the people that they're working with and serve the people they're working with, they've got nothing to offer them beyond the medical treatment they're giving them, which is wonderful and tremendous and praise the Lord for it. But how are they going to hear without a preacher? I'm not going to say this, we're thankful, but there are other groups that are out there like the Peace Corps. Now the Peace Corps is a government agency that sends people around the world to help others. And I will simply say this without any hesitation, without any qualms about it, the world would be better off without the Peace Corps because of the Peace Corps people. There might be some young people that have volunteered for that service that have a heart and say, I really want to go, I want to help people out, but I can guarantee you that within that organization, the majority of them are people with an agenda. They're a government agency. And they have a curriculum and they have a form and there's things that they can teach and things that they can say. And most of them, and I'm looking back 35, 40 years ago to when I was overseas and I dealt with several different islands, different Peace Corps people, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for any single one of them. They did more damage with the local people by their influence than any help they gave them on social issues over there. You know what the world needs? It needs preachers. It needs missionaries. One of these missionary couples or individuals will do a billion times more good in a country than anybody that's there for medicine or food. Now, if they're Christians, you see where I'm going here. I'm talking about the society's worldly organizations. What they need is somebody to give them the gospel. They need to be preached to. How shall they hear without a preacher? Notice verse 15 here in Romans 10. And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's a good question, isn't it? How shall they preach except they be sent? Those that are going over to help them with medicine, go to help them with agriculture, go to help them with education, are being financed by the government or other groups that know that they can't just send them over cold turkey. They have to be able to sustain them and provide for them. And that pattern comes from the Bible. Because these preachers need to be sent, as Paul was in his missionary journeys going around the world. And as we mentioned in our study of the book of Acts, how did Paul pay for his trips on the ship? As he sailed from one place to the next, they didn't give him free passage. He had to pay for everything he did. And obviously the money he got had to come from the churches he served. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Why missions? Because the world needs it. The world doesn't need religion. You realize everywhere Paul went, every one of his missionary journeys, every city he went into already had religion of one kind or another. The Jews had their synagogues. The Gentiles had their idols and false gods. And everywhere Paul went, there wasn't a place, there wasn't a city he went that religion hadn't already gone before him. And they were in darkness and needed the light of the gospel. What does the world need? It needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. How's it going to get there? By those who go. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You're either called to go or called to give. Those are the only two options. And we're not exempt from either one of them. God might call somebody from Bible Baptist Church one day to go. He has before. He may again. But He's called all of us to give. Oh, I don't have to tell you. You know, we all know how much money we waste. How much money passes through our hands for idle purposes. Whether it's our Spectrum, whether it's eating out. Most of us have a few dollars in our pocket that we can spend any time we need to, get things any time we want to. I'm not talking about large things, but small things, anytime we want to. Jonathan, we were talking about $11 milkshakes at the new ice cream place down in town. And most folks can go in there if they want to and buy one without second thoughts. You realize that most of the world today would not even be able to dream of having that kind of money in their pocket. And the missionaries are going to reach those people. And they're not going to them to get money out of them. They have to be supported. We have to give of our abundance that they might be blessed. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's point number three. So let's go back to point number two. Let's just wrap it up right here. Why missions? Number one, because the Lord commands it. Number two, because the world needs it. That's enough right there. We can close our Bibles, have an invitation, and realize that that's all we need to know. The Lord commands it. And the world needs it. Number three, because the church thrives on it. The church thrives on it. Acts chapter 13. Preached on this 6 weeks ago, thereabouts. about what it takes to be a missionary. And again, with the idea of keeping missions in our forefront through these summer months, our missions conference will be the first weekend in October, as it is every year. And until then, we need to remind ourselves of the importance of missions. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, now there were in the church. Again, when the Lord wanted to choose servants to go as missionaries, He found them in the church. There was in the church, it was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with the Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The church at Antioch, from which God found Saul and Barnabas and called them to be the first missionaries, so to speak, they weren't, but they're the first ones here officially ordained and sent by the church. As they were sent out of a church that was growing and prospering, and in order to continue to do that and not be like the church at Jerusalem that had dried up on the vine, they needed to send people out into the harvest. While they were busy preaching in Antioch and the regions round about, God said, I'm satisfied with that. I'm happy that you're in Antioch, that you've moved out of Jerusalem and got here. But this isn't enough. I said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when the church is obedient to the command of God, the church gets blessed. And the church thrives. It thrives numerically. You know, a missions-giving church rarely, if ever, dries up and dies. We live in an area, we live in a place where over the years there have been many, many, many churches. And most of those churches, you could go by the buildings today and there's 7 people meeting there. Or 20 people meeting there. And I don't disparage that. Thank God they're still meeting. Thank God they still have a church. I remember going to one in not too far away from here, out in the country. I remember preaching there long, long time ago. And I went in and there was maybe 7 people in the church. And yet back on the wall was a picture of that church 40, 50 years ago. A picture of the church congregation out front of the church in the 1920s, or maybe that's more than 50 years ago, isn't it? 1920s or 1930s. And it was 80, 90, 100 people out in the country that were members of that church, and yet now there's 6, there's 7. Now understand, people die, people move away, but the church is supposed to be replacing itself, replenishing itself. And you know how it does that? By reaching out, by giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't go out and recruit. We don't visit other churches and try to get their church members. In fact, when we go on visitation, if somebody says they go to another church, we just simply say, that's great, praise the Lord. We might ask them where they go to church. Because I've had them say, well, I go to church. Well, that's great, where do you go? The church, I remember this, the church right down here at the end of the street. I said, oh, such and such, yeah, yeah. I said, who's the pastor there? So they don't always go where they claim they're going. But when the gospel is being proclaimed, the fires keep burning. You know why we need missionaries coming here on a regular basis? You know why we need to support missionaries? Because we need that fire to keep burning for us. We want to be a church that's not going to die out with the next generation. And of course, it starts with us right here, going outside our doors and reaching here. But it does have to go to every nation. Because the Lord commanded it that way. We are blessed when we do this. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. Remember Acts chapter 16, Paul saw a vision in the night, the man of Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Paul had a vision. Something that was on his heart, something he was burdened about, something he was thinking about. And God gave him we talked about the difference between visions and dreams. God gave him a vision because he was focused on what God wanted him to do. We need a vision, folks. We need a vision for our community. A vision for our county to reach them with the gospel. Always looking for ways to get it out. I mean, I'm not talking about trickery. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about just simply getting the gospel out. Because God will bless us as we do that. God will bless us numerically. I've said this and we've talked about it among the church leadership many times. We can go out on visitation and knock on doors and we can send out flyers and do this and that, and sometimes not one person will come as a result of that. But God will send two or three or four people from other areas because we're doing that. God will bless it in His way, by His means. Now, praise the Lord when what we're actually doing produces a result somehow there. But God always takes care of a missions-minded church. One that's evangelistic and reaching out. He'll bless them numerically. The church also thrives financially when it keeps its eyes on the ball. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We will benefit financially. And we've given testimony of that, of Bible Baptist Church over the 30 years. Again, look where we're sitting right now. For a church our size, in the building we're sitting in. That's all material stuff, and I recognize that. But you know what that also is? That's the hand of God. That's the blessing of the Lord. Not because we deserve it, or we're anything stupendous, but because we've been faithful in trying to get the gospel out to our immediate area and around the world. And when we do that, God blesses in ways that we don't recognize, in ways that we don't see. I love it when God comes around a corner I never expected and blesses us in some way. And He's done it time and time and time again. I think of the example of the young lad with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gave simply what he had. He gave everything he had. And he went home that day, I believe, with 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. He came with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He went home to his house with 12 baskets as the disciple gathered up those remnants afterward. That's what God does. That's God. Replenishing above and beyond all that we could possibly ask or think. And I firmly believe that the reason God has blessed Bible Baptist Church financially is because of these missionaries around and these signs around the room that we have support on a monthly basis. Don't take them for granted. Don't think they're just an obligation. They are our sustenance. They are our life as a church as they take the gospel around the world. We're blessed numerically. We're blessed financially. We're blessed spiritually. We're blessed spiritually. Because the church thrives on missions. We are blessed spiritually. Again, those churches that have dried up and no longer exist, that have shut their doors. You know why? They didn't have a heart for missions. I say this again, and not in a braggadocious manner, but I've talked to folks that say, oh, we're having a very special day at our church this coming Sunday. We're having a missionary. A missionary to Thailand, or a missionary to this country or that. And I said, well, that's wonderful. When's the last time you had a missionary? Oh, probably 5 years ago. You know why churches are drying up and dying spiritually? Because they're not being reminded of the need of the world. And if Jesus said 5 times, go into all the world, every nation, and churches are losing that vision, they're going to dry up spiritually. Why missions? Because the church thrives on it. You've heard the story. You know the story of William Carey. Back in the 1790s, okay? Back in the 1790s, William Carey, in his study of the Scripture, wrote a paper deciding he needed to go. Someone needed to go to India. Someone needed to go to reach the heathen. Nobody had been doing that. And as a Baptist preacher of a church there in England, he decided God was calling him to do that. So he went to the Ministerial Association, or as we call it, the Minister's Assassination, because it'll usually kill you. He went to the Ministerial Association of Baptists and he presented to them the need of missions around the world and going. And he presented the Great Commission. And he talked about the mission work of Wesley and Whitfield and others that were doing things. And he said, we need to get involved. We need to do this. And you've heard the story. One of the dried up old men that was there listening to him as he begged and pleaded for them to get involved, and they formed the Baptist Missionary Society under William Carey's leadership. But one of those old stalwarts stood up and said to him as he was pleading out, he said, "Young man, sit down. If God pleases to convert the heathen, He'll do so without your aid or mine." Again, the theological dryness of that day, what we call Calvinism, believing that we don't have to do anything. God will take care of all of it. William Carey in 1793, thank God, sailed for India, gave his life, gave many years of his life serving. We read his biography now. You know the guy that said that statement? No, you don't. Because nobody knows who it was. I tried. I've tried all week. I've tried to look up who said that. And if you type that statement in, it'll say William Carey. He didn't say it. It was said to him. And there's no record, as far as I can tell, of who said that. He's forgotten. But William Carey's not. The church thrives when it's got a vision for missions. Why missions? Because the Lord commands it. Because the world needs it. Number three, as we said, because the church thrives on it. Number four, because the cults do it. If you and I don't go, someone else will. And they do. Look at the gospel. Look at Mark. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Jesus has appointed his disciples. And in verse number 7 of Mark 6, he says this, "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money, no purse, but be shod with sandals, and put not on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place." Jesus sat down with his 12 disciples and divided them into six groups. Sent two together, sent them out two by two to go to the villages and the towns to pronounce to them that their Messiah had arrived. That Jesus of Nazareth was their Christ. He sent them two by two. Now, who has stolen that formula? Used to be in Cambridge, you'd walk through or drive through town and maybe see two young men, clean cut, sharp looking, white shirts, ties, a little tag on their above their pocket that said Elder and then whatever their last name was. My favorite was a guy I met over in Koshrai. His name was Elder Barry. I thought, Elder Barry, yeah, okay. They go two by two throughout the neighborhood. They go from door to door. You know, it's a shame, and I'm just going to be blunt. You might not like this, but I'm going to say it. You never see the Presbyterians do that. You never see the Methodists do that. You very rarely see the Baptists do that. You know what's going to happen? They're going to dry up. Spiritually, then eventually numerically. But when there is no vision, the people perish. And many believers are sitting in dead, dry churches tonight because they don't have the heart of God. They don't have a view for their community. They let the Mormons do that work. Or it might be a couple, a man and a wife. The wife in a nice dress, the man dressed well, carrying briefcases usually, knocking on doors, inviting them to attend the Kingdom Hall. Jehovah Witnesses. Now, COVID has thrown a curve into their system. I've had several of you come up and tell me you've gotten letters in the mail. And it's from somebody from the Kingdom Hall, somebody from the Jehovah Witnesses. Because of COVID, they stopped going door to door. I don't know if they're back at it yet now, but they stopped doing that and they started just writing letters and sending them out and inviting people and telling them about that. And some of you have gotten that letter and wrote back to them, sent them a gospel tract to them. Praise the Lord for that. The Jehovah Witnesses are doing it. The Mormons are doing it. Can I tell you this? Bible Baptist Church is doing it. And we're going to keep doing it as long as we're here. As long as I'm here, and I think Pastor Lewis is in the same, I'm sure he's on the same mindset as I am. We're going to keep doing that because the church thrives on it and because the cults are doing it. Those messengers of Satan, oh, preacher, that's you shouldn't say that. I'm going to. Those messengers of Satan telling them that Jesus Christ is not God in a human body, that He and Lucifer are brothers. And that the only reason He became the Messiah is because He raised His hand first. When God the Father looked at the two of them and asked for a volunteer to go die for the sins, Jesus went first and Lucifer got mad. And that's caused the whole battle that's going on. That's of the devil. And the only way to combat that is get the gospel to him first. We need to have missions because the cults do it. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. What is it the world needs? What is it the church thrives on? What is it that the cults are imitating that the church should be doing? Acts chapter 8 verse 1, talking about the death of Stephen, that great martyr in chapter 7. And Saul was consenting to his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. The church. Again, we're going to come to a day, I think, where that's going to happen again. There was a great persecution against the church, which is Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad. This was not an official sending of Barnabas and Saul. This is the church being scattered because God sent a persecution. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Don't those two cities sound familiar? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. They wouldn't go, they wouldn't go, they wouldn't go. God sent a persecution and it drove them out of Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And devout men, verse 2, carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Those days might repeat themselves. Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, verse number 1, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know why the gospel, you know why the church at Antioch was even formed? Because God booted them out of Jerusalem through persecution, scattered them throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And as they got up, as the gospel got into Antioch, it got into the hearts of some people that caught fire for God, and a missions-minded church was born and formed in the city of Antioch. The cults are doing it. They're spreading like crazy. I was explaining to someone just the other day asking me about what the Jehovah Witnesses believed. And I said, well, they used to believe that 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses were going to inherit the earth. That was their original teaching. Charles Taze Russell. That they were going to inherit the earth. So 144,000, of course they got that from the book of Revelation, chapter 7. They believed that they were those 144,000. And 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses were going to be blessed by giving this earth, God giving it to them. Well, the day came a long time ago, 40, 50 years ago, where the number of Jehovah Witnesses reached 144,001. Where's that poor guy going to go? 144,002. They passed 144,000 a long time ago. So they simply invented a new doctrine. And they decided that the first 144,000 were going to inherit the earth, and the next 144,000 were going to get to go to heaven. Problem fixed. Till they reached 288,000. See, there's a problem when you have to invent your doctrine to match what you want to believe ahead of time. And that's what the cults are doing. They'll twist that Bible and turn that Bible everywhere inside and out to try to get what they want from it. You know what the world needs? It needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. The plain and simple gospel. Why? Because the cults do it. Number five, and lastly, and very shortly. Why missions? Because the Lord commands it. Because the world needs it. Because the church thrives on it. Because the cults are doing it. And number five, because it's right. Just that simple. Because it's right. Say, preacher, what Bible reference do you have for that? None. But on the basis of the other four things, it's right. Isaiah 43:10 says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." That's the verse that Jehovah Witnesses have stolen. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." Every one of us has been called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that you and I come in contact with that no one else may ever come in contact with. Opportunities no one else may ever have, but you and I. We reach our Jerusalem. We spread out to our Judea and Samaria. And we send these men and women to the uttermost parts of the earth so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can get everywhere. You can't go to Japan. You can't go to India. You can't go to Vietnam. And those that are in Japan and India and Vietnam cannot reach America. It takes all of us together preaching the gospel to every creature to go to every nation. Why missions? Because it's the heart of God. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.